The Mortgage Calculator, your favorite non-QM lender with over 5,000 unique loan products.
So welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I am the COO of The Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our president, Nick Hershey, and our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez. We are a lender specializing in non-QM loans. And what we do every morning on this show is go through our live mortgage rates, and then we do a deep dive into a different loan topic. Today's topic is going to be asset utilization loans. So our sales manager, Jose, with 28 years of experience, is going to take us into a deep dive into asset utilization loans here shortly. But before we do that, we'll do what we do every morning, which is pull up our live rates. So Nick, if you're ready, let's go ahead and pull up our pricing tool and see what the rates are looking like this morning for some different programs.
All right, let me switch the screens up here and we will check it out. So as Kyle mentioned, this is our pricing tool here for our team of mortgage professionals. This will show us the general rates and APR for today, Friday, April 5th, just after 11 a.m. Eastern. So most of our standard programs have rates issued here today. And we'll set up a basic scenario and compare the APR across the programs. If you'd like a full loan estimate that breaks down all of the itemized fees that go into the APR, please get with one of our team members. We have over 300 loan officers to help you out. For the demo today, as we do every day, we'll set up a basic scenario, $400,000 loan amount, set the LTV to 80% loan, 20% down payment, and we'll ask the computer to find the lowest rates we can find for conforming conventional, and then we'll compare that with FHA, which is usually the second option for most borrowers, and then we'll go into our expanded guidelines, also known as non-QM, where we have over 5,000 other options here beyond the standard. We can also do VA and USDA. VA is only for eligible vets and active service members. If you are, just let us know. USDA is only for eligible properties. If you're looking in those areas, just let us know. Start today with conforming conventional. We'll do purchase, 30-year fixed loan, primary occupancy, single family home, one unit, state of Florida, county of Miami-Dade. And for all the demos, we use an estimated credit score here of 760 and an estimated debt to income ratio of 40%. So, conventional, not much change since yesterday. Looks like the same, 6.49 rate, 2.375 discount points at cost, puts the final APR at 6.777. So we had a lot of news this week. Went a little bit up, went a little bit down, and we're ending pretty much where we left off last week as well. But hopefully we continue to see better news here. And if our customers, for any reason, don't qualify for one of these conforming conventional options, typically, the next option we want to explore is an FHA option. So I'll set up the same exact scenario here. And the only change we'll make is FHA, which does allow more leniency on credit issues like foreclosures, bankruptcies, other types of things like that, as well as a much higher debt-to-income ratio we can use. But for the demo, the only thing we've changed here is the loan type to FHA, so we can compare apples to apples here across the program and compare the APR. And a little bit different than yesterday for FHA, 5.75 rate, 2.375 discount points and costs, plus final APR, 6.687, so pretty close to conventional here. However, it's a touch cheaper for our customers that qualify for both here if you compare the APRs. And this APR does include the upfront and yearly mortgage insurance that is required. So our customers that need FHA, a great option. It's actually a touch cheaper in this scenario, side by side. So definitely a great way for our customers that need to use it to take advantage, as it is almost identical. Now, where we love to specialize is if, unfortunately, our customer doesn't qualify for an FHA or a conventional loan. Many other banks or lenders will have to deny that customer because they have no other options. That's where we come in with our 5,000 plus additional options here under expanded guidelines where we can use alternative income. So we'll select non-QM expanded guidelines. Everything else will stay identical, but now we get a new box that pops up where we can change the income type we're going to use. So full doc is what we use for conventional and FHA. That's 2 years of tax returns, what most people are used to. So if we're using the non-QM programs because we don't qualify with our tax returns, we'll want to take advantage of all of these alternatives, asset-related programs, which is our topic for today, business bank statement programs. The investor programs are just for investment properties, so we Can't do those here for primary. Personal bank statement, 12-month is the most popular. That's what we always choose for the demo here. We also have RSU, stated income, DOE, 1099 P&L, all kinds of options. The personal bank statement 12-month is the most popular, and that's for our self-employed borrowers. Many times, the self-employed borrowers, when they submit tax returns, may have write-offs and may not qualify at all, or just may need a little bit more income to get that home they really want. Either way, we can help them out. No tax returns at all, just their last 12 bank statements, and we'll determine a debt-to-income ratio of 40% here in our example using just their cash in the bank. So most of our self-employed borrowers qualify for much more income this way. And best option for bank statement at the top here today, 7.125 rate, 2.3 discount points and costs. Put the final APR at 7.527, so a little more than half a point above conventional. We love staying right in that sweet spot there. Very comparable options here for our borrowers that need that little bit of help. Notice it's just over half a point more in cost, which is pretty typical here. And if we scroll down, there's hundreds of variations. Some of these towards the bottom here at higher rates and costs may allow bankruptcies, foreclosures, other credit issues that would cause us to not qualify for any standard programs. And some of these may allow different ways to tweak and qualify the income. So hundreds of variations. Please get with our team to find the best one. And now before we present the asset options, which Jose will go into detail, we always want to do our investment property live pricing. So we'll set up the same scenario, 400,000 loan amount, 80% loan to value. And we'll find the lowest rates we can offer for conforming conventional options for investment properties and compare that to our expanded guideline non-QM options. Remember, the government programs, FHA, VA, USDA do not work for investments here. So we'll start with conforming conventional. Everything else will stay the same as all our other demos. All we've changed is the occupancy. And the same as yesterday, pretty much, it looks like here. So portfolio options still on top. Remember, the portfolio option does have the same guidelines, but does not have the same loan level price adjustments. So this one comes in at 6.875 for 3.375 discount points. Puts the final APR at 7.277, same as it was yesterday. And our first true conventional option is a Freddie Mac option here at the top, 6.99 rate, 3.5 discount points at cost. Puts the final APR 7.409. So again, we always see those fluctuate as the rates continue to stabilize. We should see the conventional options pop up over the portfolio option. But today, and as we say often, make sure our customers that are looking for investment properties check out the portfolio as well as our non-QM options. So for the final demo, we'll do our investors again. We'll set up the same scenario again. And this time we'll choose expanded guidelines, also known as non-QM. So when we do that, first thing we need to select when we go non-QM is our income type. And the most popular income type for investment properties is going to be our DSCR. That's our most popular loan as well because it doesn't require any income or employment or documents on that. Simply use the estimated rental income from the appraisal to determine a DSCR value. It stands for debt service coverage ratio. If the estimated rents can cover the expenses, aka the property cash flows, that's a ratio of one or higher, which is preferable. We even have options for ratios under one. But for the demo, we'll put 1.5 so we can see all the programs pop up. And finally, prepayment penalty is standard on these non-QM investments. We always choose 3 years for the demo, since that shows all the options. There are some that allow no prepay, that will cost more. And there are some that allow a 5-year prepay, which will save some money, but does limit what shows up. Since 3 years is most common, we want to see all the most common options here for our demo. And still, absolutely smoking, 6.875 rate for a DSCR option, 3.025 discount points and costs. That's the final APR at 7.346. So great option for our borrowers that want to use the DSCR option, and it actually beats conventional today and has been for quite a while. Most borrowers will still take a DSCR option even if it's a point higher than conventional or even more, but right now we're actually beating conventional, which is absolutely amazing for our investors out there. And if we scroll down, some of these other options may allow bankruptcies, foreclosures, other credit issues. Some of these may allow different ways to calculate income. We did a couple episodes on that recently on vacation rental income, very popular requests. Some may allow different property types. We did episodes on those recently as well. Check out those past episodes. and enjoy all the flexibility that comes with these hundreds of DSCR variations that we have. For today's topic, let me switch it back to our screen here. And we will check it out. So today we'll be talking about asset utilization loans, which is always an option that you see there on the dropdown when we go through non-QM. They are a little specific and not as common as the bank statement options, which are more standard, more common, more easy for people to understand. Asset utilization, every program differs quite a bit. Bank statements, a little more standardized. So this is a little bit different. So Jose has some specific examples here. Some programs may use a factor of 60 on the assets. Some may use a factor of 84. Some may use a factor of hundreds, right? Conventional, you can still do this, right, too, which is another trick, hopefully, Jose, you mentioned as well. But let's talk about the examples you have here, Jose, and what asset utilization actually means. And I guess there's a couple different ways to even phrase the actual term as well, if you could kind of define it a little bit for us there, please.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Daily Mortgage Rates Live with the Mortgage Calculator. So asset utilization, also known as asset depletion, is a loan program that uses the borrower's liquid assets to qualify the borrower. Now, by liquid assets, we're basically talking about financial assets, money market accounts, checking accounts, savings account, trust accounts, IRA account, 401ks, any, you know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, right? Now, what's going to happen is depending on the liquidity of the asset, there will be an adjustment to the percentage of the asset that can be considered, right? So obviously the checking account asset will have a higher usage than the 401k, right? Which I think is at like 70% or something like that. Now, this does vary from guidelines to guidelines, because as you know, this is a non-QM product, so it is not a standardized guideline. So every option out there could have a different way to calculate the income, right? It's all sorts of tweaks, because they have their secondary who they sell these loans to, and they're the ones that really determine what the guidelines will be, what they want to buy, and what they're going to pay for what are the attributes on that package. Hence, that is why in non-QM, all guidelines are different. So asset utilization is pretty cool, because actually there's even an asset utilization option, for example, for agency loans for borrowers 62 years or older, that you can add asset utilization to supplement the income. Can't be the only source of income. And also in non-QM, we also have options where you can use asset utilization to supplement W-2 income or to supplement bank statement income, for example. Now, not all non-QM options allow that feature. That's a pretty cool feature, but it is there. So you have a borrower, little short on the income. Well, hey, if they have substantial assets other than the assets that are going to be used for the transaction, if it is a purchase, for example, right? They're not going to let you double dip the assets. You're going to use it for income, and then you're going to deplete them when you give it for the down payment. But it is a very cool feature. So remember that. Asset utilization can be used as a standalone option or as a supplemental income option for several of our loan programs. So let me share the options that I have with you today. So our first option here is asset utilization 85% loan to value. That is our maximum loan to value for this non-QM program, which, as you all know, never any mortgage insurance applicable at any LTV above 80% for non-QM. In this loan program, 85% the max. The max on all non-QM normally is 90%, 90%. So obviously, since asset utilization is a lesser used product, not as popular in secondary, which is why it's at 85% instead of 90% LTV. So here, very good rates, though. As you can see, 8.749 is our lowest cost option almost at par with a 0.125 point cost. And then you can buy that down all the way to 7.624. And as I like to state at the beginning of all my rate shows here, we actually have lower rate options, but that's something that we would have to discuss after we run it through the loan. If it gets to that, through a compliance test, run our points and fees, and we could go lower. Or if you're getting seller paid closing costs, let's say seller's paying 2% of the sales price to the buyer as a credit at closing for the buyer's closing costs, and those 2%, 2 points, could be applied towards a loan discount. So then in our points and fees, 7.624 would be a net 0.375 to the borrower. So if the borrower chose to, we could buy that down further, let's say to a cost of 3.5, for example, or 4 points, and then you would really be down there in the rates. So that was our 85% primary option. And then this is our 80% primary option, just like to put a little context to the rates there, because they are obviously LTV dependent. The higher the LTV, higher the risk, rate is going to be higher. Directly proportional relationship there, right? Higher risk, higher rate, lower risk, lower rate. So here we lower the risk because we lower the LTV to 80%. So now we have a lender credit at 8.125, which is our lowest cost option. And we can buy that down to 7.375 for our asset utilization, 80% LTV primary purchase. Well, one thing I wanted to say about the asset utilization is these assets don't have to be pledged, right? So it's just reviewed for underwriting. And once you close, the borrower can do whatever they want to do with their assets. They don't have to be pledged. They don't have to be placed in any segregated account held by anybody other than the borrower in their hot little hands. So now for our 85% LTV purchase, we do have an 85% LTV purchase option. This is one of the rare cases where our loan to value for a non-QM program is the same for primary as it is for investment, just as you can see, a higher rate. So 9.499 is our lowest cost option at par. You can buy that down to 7.624%. And then 80% to show you how much better the rate gets as you lower the LTV. Keep in mind, look at that 7.124 lowest rate option, 8.624 almost at par. So those are fantastic rates. And you will note that one of the reasons, obviously, on the investment side is that we can add a prepayment penalty, which gives better pricing. We can't put a prepayment penalty in a primary loan, but we can in an investment loan. So here, our asset utilization, 80% LTV, primary cash out. 80% LTV is the maximum loan to value for a cash out on a primary or actually on an investment either. Here we have 8.5% as our lowest cost option, and you can buy that down to 7.625%. So I was mentioning to you the effect that a prepayment penalty can have on a loan. And this is one example here where, the pricing is much better on the primary. But here you go, 9.499 is a 0.125 cost for our investment 80% LTV option. That's almost par. And check that out. This is a really nice rate sheet because you get a lot of options here. And you can buy that down all the way to 7.624. So same minimum rate almost as our primary, but a difference in cost of 1.125 points due to the fact that it's investment, but we get a better price at least than we would normally because we got a 3-year prepay on here. And then our last option is our 75% LTV investment cash out option. And you see how much lower the rates get here at 75%. 8.875 is at par. And you can buy that down all the way to 7.25% for asset utilization, 75% LTV investment, cash out refi. So this program is a mind blower for most people, because in the past, the only way you could get these asset utilization type loans would be like from a large stock brokerage if you were in a, if you had an account with them. And then you had, you know, your stocks and bonds and money market and all that kind of stuff with them. And then they'd lend you the money with your assets as collateral, right? So they're not using the property as collateral in that case. They're using your assets as collateral, lending you the money to do what you want in this case. But then they have dibs on your money. In this case, the property is a collateral. The assets remain yours. You just show them to the underwriter. They calculate your income according to their guidelines, close your loan, and then it's your money to do with as you please. And hopefully you're not going to spend it all in one place.
Okay, looks like we got a question here. How long would the asset have to have been established, and can an annuity or pension be used?
Yeah, there is a minimum seasoning requirement on these assets. Again, I would have to defer to the guidelines because they're all different. It could be some of the numbers that come to mind, I think, are like 3 months, 4 months, somewhere in that range. I think maybe 4 months is more the common. But again, you got to look at the guidelines, because that's a very good question, because there is a seasoning requirement on the assets. If a pension, it all depends what type of pension it is, right? Because if it's a pension that's paying you distributions or something based upon the value of an asset, then that depends if it's a liquid type asset, right? Which it could be if it's, you know, like you're getting distributions from the asset. But if it's just like a pension plan that has no asset associated with it, sort of like Social Security, you paid into the plan and now they're just going to pay you until you die, then you would not be able to use it. Now, if it's an annuity, it depends again on how the annuity value is calculated, but annuities are investments, right? You put the money in, it has a fixed term, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, whatever it is, and they pay you money, sort of like dividends in a way. So annuity sounds like it could be an option. Pension, you would have to see if it's actually an asset-based pension or not.
All right. Great program there, though. I like to just kind of simplify it in terms of, Jose, you're telling me that if I just have a bunch of money, I can get a loan.
That's absolutely what you're telling me. Yeah. You got a million. I mean, you know, besides the money you're going to use for the down payment, or for example, if it's a refi, that's a real easy one. You're not using that money for the down payment. There's no down payment. So yeah, but the real mind blower here is also how you can use asset utilization to supplement the income. Right? You got a bank statement program. All of a sudden, you have 53% DTI and the DT or 55, whatever, and the DTI max is 50 for that particular program. Well, then maybe you should look for a conduit that allow, because they all don't allow this, right? This is like non-QM guideline specific, right? So if you're a little short, then you know what? Look for an option. Like the one that I was quoting today, for most of my options, that conduit is the one that allows to combine bank statement income with asset utilization or with P&L. I mean, you know, obviously there would have to be different companies, but the asset utilization is not company related. So they got their bank statement income from business bank statements, and they have personal bank statements with $750,000. Guess what? You're going to qualify for a lot more loan right there, just by combining those two. And I think that's one of the biggest missed opportunities that we probably see in the industry, is just that. People say, oh, man, I didn't qualify. He was a little short on the income. And then they forget, hey, wait a minute. This person has $400,000 or even $300,000 or whatever it may be. There's a minimum amount of money, obviously, that you got to go into the guidelines that they have to start with. There's like a floor balance that they have to start with. And I can't tell you the exact amount, because again, that's guideline specific, but the opportunities are there. So that's probably the biggest takeaway that I would say there is to be had from today's show, is everyone that's listening, no, don't miss the opportunities. Know that you can combine, not only can you use asset utilization as a standalone income, but you can use asset utilization to combine with other income streams to qualify the borrower for more loan amount.
And not only on non-QM.
Yeah.
Conventional.
Mentioning how the conventional option allows for borrowers 62 or older to combine stuff, especially because those borrowers, for example, could be on a fixed income already, or maybe they're, you know, decreasing their work, getting ready, you know, for their retirement. So now their regular quote unquote income is lower, but they've managed to amass a nice little nest egg, you know, in their 401k right there. You have income. The Social Security borrower, right? Yeah, they make $1,800, $1,900 a month in Social Security income, but they got $1.5 million in a 401k. That borrower is going to qualify for a lot of property.
And both Fannie and Freddie treat it differently as well, conventional. So make sure you read those guides, but they both have options to add that income. And then all the non-QM, you have to read the guides, right? So this is a read the guide type of trick, right?
All right. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Appreciate everybody tuning in. This was a great one here today. Remember, we do this 11 a.m. Eastern every single weekday where we go through our live rates and then do a deep dive into a different loan topic. So we'll be back next week with some new topics. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern for the next episode of Daily Rates Live with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day.
Apply now at themortgagecalculator.com for instant mortgage rate quotes for over 5,000 loan products.